Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
Everybody get their coffee? You kind of... Yes? No? Okay. You got your caffeine this morning. That's good. So I want to begin this morning with just a simple observation, and it's this, that, and you've probably noticed this, and maybe this is something you like to do yourself, but people like to contain things. They like to keep things contained. Some people more than others, and some people do a better job of containing things than others. But people have this kind of proclivity to contain things and to keep stuff. And they contain things because they want to know where their stuff is. And they want to be able to get to their stuff when they want to. Let me illustrate that in a way that will probably resonate with most of you, if not all of you, at least to some degree. We have boxes to keep tools in. Those of us that have tools and know how to use them. Don't look in this direction, okay? those of us that have lots of clothes, we keep them in like wardrobes and bureaus and cupboards for dishes and jewelry boxes for valuables and desk drawers for PCs and printers and bags for laptops and filing cabinets for goodness knows what, folders, files, whatever. Some people have old kind of what we used to call chest of drawers or whatever for keeping stuff in. And then there's always the junk drawer. Put your hand up if you don't have a drunk? Put your hand up if you're drunk. No, please. Put your hand up if you do not have a junk drawer. That's not easy to say. Okay, so there you go. At least that one resonates with most people. We certainly have one in our house, and I'm not a fan of it, actually, because every time I open it, I can never find what I'm looking for. And I go through this whole process of complaining about the fact that we have this drawer full of stuff, and I can never find what I'm looking for. We like to try and contain things, to hold things in, to kind of organize our stuff, so we know where it is and we can get it when we want it. For some of us, depending on your personality, having things contained brings a sense of comfort because there's order and there's a sense of predictability about that. Some of us are less kind of oriented that way. The point I want to make this morning is that that tendency is sometimes the way that we treat God. We want to keep him contained, because when he's contained, then we are comfortable with where he is and how he is. There's a certain sense of, yeah, we've got God where we want him to be. He's kind of predictable. We feel comfortable about that. And we don't want him to get out of our theological boxes and mess everything up. And so we spend a lot of time, and a lot of clever people over the last couple thousand years in the church have done this, theologizing God, coming up with doctrines. And I'm not slamming theology or doctrine. It has its place. But what often happens is God becomes confined to, or at least people think he is, and contained within a theological grid or box. And that tends to give people at least the mistaken impression of some sense of comfort and control. But the truth is, God will never be confined to whatever box we choose to put him in. And the reason he won't be is because God is uncontainable and God is irrepressible. And that's what I'm talking about this morning with the title of this message. The God in whom we believe, the God who is the real, true, living God, can't be shut in, and he can't be kept down. And I want to try and unpackage for you a little bit this morning of why that's true of our God and what the implications of that truth is for us in our relationship with him and the journey we're on with him in life. And in order to do that this morning, I want to look at one simple scripture. Actually, it's perhaps not so simple, but it's just one verse taken out of a passage written by Luke in the book of Acts, and it's found in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. And this is what it says. And this is Paul, the apostle, speaking, recorded by Luke. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. Now, let me provide a little bit of the context, because I've just taken one verse here out of an immediate and general context. And when you're doing appropriate exegesis on the basis of preparing the word to preach it, you need to make sure if you're taking a word, a verse alone and preaching on it, which is a totally legitimate thing to do, that you put it in its immediate and general context so that you don't make that verse say something that it's not saying in the context from which you've taken it. So I want to take the time to do that this morning so you understand where it comes from and what Paul is doing and what precedes what's said here. Paul is in the city of Athens, which in his day was kind of the philosophical high point, center of philosophy. And he's in this city for the purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that city, he comes across a whole bunch of philosophers, Epicurean and Stoic philosophers in particular, and I won't go into their philosophies this morning. Just take it from me that there were a lot of philosophers in this city at this time, and two of the primary groupings were the Epicurean and the Stoic philosophers. And they start to debate with Paul and talk with Paul. And what Paul does is he comes to a place in Athens called the Areopagus. And the Areopagus means Hill of Ares. It was a low hill in Athens on the northwest side of the Acropolis, which was a walled stronghold that overlooked the city. And on the top of that was the Parthenon, which you probably have heard of before, and there was a temple there dedicated to the Greek goddess Athena, who was, according to the Greeks in Athens, their patron god for the city. And Paul comes to the Areopagus, sometimes referred to here as Mars Hill, and there is a hill there, and there were stone seats, and there the council of Athens would meet in court. And they would listen to people. And in fact, if you read the preamble to the verse I just read in Acts 17, you'll see that they spent their time. They spent almost all their time sitting there and pontificating about the latest ideas that were being shared. And they would invite people in to speak, and they would debate with them about their philosophical ideas. And Paul, being as sharp as Paul was, thought, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. And so we went to the Areopagus, and he began to engage with these Epicurean and Stoic philosophers for the cause of Jesus. And the word says Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. And these guys responded to him, and a lot of them said, what is this set of strange ideas he's bringing to our ears? What does it mean? And Paul thought, if ever there was an open door, here's an open door. And he began to preach Christ to them. And as he walked around the city, Paul noticed that the city was very religious. There were all kinds of temples and altars to a panoply of gods that the Greeks were into. And he said to them, I've noticed as I've walked around your city that you guys are very religious. You got a lot of religion going on here. And lots of gods. And I actually noticed, guys, that you had an altar in the city. And instead of the name of a God on it, it said, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. And it was almost like, really, that the Greeks were kind of trying to cover their rear end. It's like they had altars to all these gods, but just in case there's one out there that we don't know about, we better create an altar to the unknown God just to make sure we're covered. And Paul said, it's that unknown God that I want to tell you about. And then he said the words we just read as our primary text for this morning. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built with hands. And he specifically said before he said that, this unknown God is this one I'm now declaring to you who is the Lord of heaven and earth. And what you need to know is that he does not live in temples built with hands. Now understand this, Athens was filled with temples, filled with altars, all to various gods, including this unknown God that Paul is now preaching to them. And it's to those people in that city with all these temples, to the various gods in which they believed and to which they gave adoration and obeisance, he says to them, the Lord of heaven and earth is the God of the whole cosmos. And you know what? He doesn't live in temples built by human hands. God was, Paul rather, was describing to the Athenians this unknown God. He was going to reveal Jesus to them. He actually takes, if you read the passage, a line out of one of their poets, one of the Athenian poets, or Greek poets anyway, I'm not sure if he was from Athens or not, and he uses that to describe God as well. He says, he is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. This is the same God that he talked about when he wrote to the Colossians, as you can see there, and he said he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is the God that he's declaring to them. Ironically, this text from the book of Acts that we've just read a few moments ago, spoken by Paul, recorded by Luke, is the revelation of this unknown God to a people that did not know him, but that Paul knew could know him through faith, which is why he went right into the middle of that maelstrom of philosophy in order to declare Jesus. Now, all of that really is by way of introduction and context to what I'm going to say this morning, which is this. This God who can't be shut in and can't be kept down is the God in whom we believe. And if you're here this morning and you haven't put your trust in Jesus and you don't know Jesus and you're here just to check him out, he's the one I want to declare to you this morning. There are implications for us in our relationship with God when we understand that you can't shut him in and you can't keep him down. The first of those is this. He is, as Paul declares in this passage, the powerful creator. Look at the first part of what Paul says in the text. The God who made the world and everything in it. And he's speaking here expansively. When he says world, he doesn't just mean the earth here. He's basically making a declaration about the entire